That should be Hank is giving out. Hank. Hey. Okay. There's a anyone who comes in late, there's a sheet that Hank's happy to give everybody who comes in late. I'm going to ask the following favor. I happen to be from the vantage point sitting in the back of the room for the first shmooze that was given. I can't help to notice that many people were on their phones, which is a little bit chutzpah to the speaker. Since I'm the speaker right now, I'm asking you to put your phones away. We'll start with that. And I want you to give it just a few minutes of attention. The right now we're smack in the middle of Asar Yimei Teshuva. This is like the immediate middle point of Asar Yimei Teshuva. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about what it means to be an Asar Yimei Teshuva, what it means, and how do we go about trying to guarantee for ourselves success in this perhaps most important stretch of days that might exist in the entire Jewish calendar. But first, let's discuss what the days actually are. On the first source of the sheet I gave you, a very sneaky piece of advice that the Mechaber, Maran, Yosef Cairo gives to the Jewish people. How to try to guarantee yourself success for the coming Yom Kippur. There's only one chapter, one halacha in this chapter. Tafresh Gimel, Af Misha Eino Nizhar B'Pasha Akum. Whoever is not normally careful from eating Pas Yisrael, they'll usually will eat bread baked by non-Jews. At least in these 10 days, be really careful. Try harder during this period of time. Now, it's one thing if like no one told God we were doing this. You know, it's a little secret among us. We won't tell anyone what we're doing here. Let's try a little extra hard. We'll be more, like when someone's dating a girl, we'll be more polite. She doesn't know who we are. We're more polite to them when we're dating a woman to get married. That we're ready to match that we are. No one knows the difference. It's too late at that point in time. But when they know who we are already, doesn't really help so much to pretend someone you're not. Why would the Mechaber suggest, Dafka, by the way, God is emes. Mishpat, he's emes. He's truth. You think the best way to go into Yom Kippur is to not be truthful? Present yourself like someone that you're really not in the end? Then the Ramah goes on and says, V'yesh l'kol adam l'chapesu l'fashesh b'masam. Every person should do a lot of introspection. You should do tshuva in these 10 days. And he says very interesting halacha. V'safek avera, sarach yoser tshuva me avera vadai. If you're not sure if you committed a crime, you need more help and more tshuva than if you know you committed a crime. You know why? Because you don't feel so bad. Maybe I didn't really do it. Maybe it wasn't so bad after all. And therefore, the Ramah points out that it costs more money to buy a korban ashram taloi than Ashram Vadai. It costs more money to pay your kapara funds. If you're not sure you're doing wrong, versus if you're sure. Because I have excuses. I make excuses. Maybe it wasn't a problem. And if you have good excuses, or you think they're good, that might be enough to get you out of whatever mess you're in. And therefore, you have to give even more tshuva to make up for that. I was speaking to someone just today about the burnout that people go through at the beginning of this month. You go through burnout. It's very hard. And you make excuses for yourself. I need a break for myself. I need a break. It was a 3-day yontif. It's a fast day. I need a break. Okay, we get it. We understand why we also have a 3-day yontif. We also have a fast day. I understand why it's very challenging. We're willing to make excuses for why things are okay when we kind of take our foot off the gas. That's what we're willing to do. So he says, be very careful, says the Ramah. I'll go back to what the Mechaber says, what the Shulchan Aruch says. Pretend. Be fake. Pretend like you're this, even though you're really not. I'll tell you a story, a personal story that happened with me. I interviewed many of you to get to Torah Traga over the course of last year, or the year beforehand even. And I want to tell you a story about someone who I interviewed. It was years ago. And many of you have your own interview stories, which by the way, some of them are very humorous. There's actually a whole school I went to that everyone was suspended when I got there, but I didn't know that, and they just came anyways to interview me. You know who you are. I'm not looking to make eye contact, but you know who you are. I only knew this, by the way, because I was in the bathroom in one of the schools when I heard one kid say, hey, what are you doing here today? I thought you were suspended. And I'm like, what? Oh, maybe for a Torah Shraga interview. Okay, so that's a story. That's a story. And I found out that everyone I met with actually spending that day, except not only that guy, but everyone I met with, okay, Baruch Hashem, they're both of them are here today, actually, unfortunately. I don't know why I took them, Baruch Hashem. They're great. I'll tell you a different story, though. Different story. There was a kid who applied to Torah Shraga, and I happened to have met him. I liked him. He had a lot of chayin. He's a nice boy. And I decided, if he applies to the shiva and he really goes through the process, I want to take him. I hadn't yet interviewed him, but I met him one time in the screening process. But he hadn't started applying yet. So I said, if you want to be considered for the yeshiva, you got to apply. So part of the application process comes along with a picture that you send in of who you are. And so when I finally saw the kid's name pop on the screen, new applicant, in the joint application system. So I wanted to make sure, it's the name I remember. Let me make sure it's the right kid. So I click on the picture, and it's a picture of the kid with his arm around two girls in camp. Which is a weird picture to send in for your joint Israel application for yeshiva. I call Rabbi Olson, the phone. Rabbi Olson, did you catch the picture that kid just sent in? He's like, what's wrong with him? I'm like, what's wrong with him? What? Seriously? He's like, yeah, it's a picture of his face. I'm like, yeah, that's part of the picture? I look back on it again, it's just a picture of his face. His face, smiling bright in the photograph. So I was like, I could have sworn when I looked last time, I don't usually imagine these things. Something else was there. So I decided, if I liked the kid in the interview, I would call him out on it. So sure enough, kid's a pleasant kid, did a nice job. I'm reading the Gemara, answered the questions nicely. So then I'll make up a name. Yeah, we'll call him Max. At the end of the interview, I said to him, hey, Max, guys, a quick question. He's like, sure, Rabbi, what? Anything. So what's with the Join App picture? Picture you sent the Join App. He goes, what about it? It's my picture of my face. I'm like, yeah, that's what it is now. But first, a picture of you with your hand around two ladies in camp. He's like, you saw that? I said, well, it was on a picture. Like, what do you mean? Well, that's what I saw. That's what you sent. He's like, it was a mistake. I put it on. I meant to click the other one, and I just asked if it was the wrong one. It was there for 10 seconds. He's like, and anyway, he's like, we're all faking. Everyone here is faking. I don't wear a belt usually. I'm like, a belt? Like, that's what you're faking? What do you mean? That's what you're calling out? But he couldn't stop saying to me, no, everyone here is faking. No one's real. I don't know how to read a Gemara. I practiced for hours before you got here. Which I happen to know also is what happens in the interviews. But I thought to myself, he's not helping the case at all. To tell me you're faking is not going to make me just, and not only you faking, but everyone I met is a faker. That's the solution to this discussion we're having right now? Again, I took the kid. He did fine in Shiva. He was a pleasant kid to have around. What's we're doing to God's brother? We're faking. Not only faking, but he knows we're faking. And everyone we tell everyone, everyone should be a faker. That's the way to deal with these most important days when you go to Hashem as a judge who's full of emes. We'll get back to that. Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is a famous Gemara. I'm sure you've heard it. If you haven't heard it, you've heard it many times before Rosh Hashanah comes up. That's what I make sure of. Amrav Kuspadai. I bracket off your second source on the page. Follow me inside. If you don't have one, Hank's got some extra copies to go around. We're out. Okay. I have two copies to go around. If you don't have one, let me know. Rav Kuspadai, Rav Yochanan. Shlosha Svarim Niftachin B'Rosh Hashanah. There are three books open in Rosh Hashanah time. Famous Gemara. Echad Shal Risham Gemurin. One of terrible, terrible people. None of the Romans room is included in that book, of course. Don't worry about it. Terrible people. Echad Shal Tzadikim Gemurin. Unfortunately, not in the room either are in that book. Perfect Tzadikim. The Echad Shal Beinonim. And then the average guy. Tzadikim Gemurin. Nechtavim V'nechtamim La'alter L'chaim. People who are righteous and Rosh Hashanah time are already signed and sealed. Nechtav V'nechtav. Signed, written, and sealed. Nechtav and sealed. Rishon Gemurin Nechtav and Nechtav and La'alter L'misa. Don't ask me questions. People who live who are Rishon. It's a good question. Everyone discuss that question. Not for now. Beinonim. People who are in the middle level. Tzuyim V'omdim. They're hanging and standing. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We have another few days to go. Zachu Nechtav and L'chaim. Zachu means they merit. If they merit, they get written in the book of life. Lo Zachu Nechtav and L'misa. They don't merit, they get written not in the book of life. That's the story. That's the Gemara. It requires to me right now, at least the first glance, three issues that I have to deal with right now in this Gemara. Issue number one. How do you define a Beinoni? What's a Beinoni? A middle guy. How does good things and bad things? That means we're all in that category. According to Rashi, in this Gemara, a Beinoni is somebody who's 50-50. Which is hard to imagine someone being exactly 50-50. A Beinoni is someone who can't make up his mind. That's a Beinoni. Half good, half bad. Jekyll and Hyde. Schizophrenic. Cannot pull the trigger on either personality that he plays roles with. That's what Beinoni, according to the Rashi, says. We'll discuss a little more what Beinoni really means. How do you become Zachu? In Zachu, if you merit, you get written in this book. If you don't, you're in that book. What makes the Zchus? Well, if Beinoni would be 50-50, what makes the Zchus? What happens? What has to happen? What's that? Tip the scale. How do I do that, Zach?
Do a mitzvah.
Do a mitzvah. One mitzvah. You pick it. That's the winner. Tip the scale. And the last one I want to just raise for a second, just to think, it requires a little bit more of your thought, is that if you'll notice, as the Gemara describes the Beinoni, is one thing he's missing. What is the Beinoni missing? Look at the words inside. What's the Beinoni missing? With Migal. What's the Beinoni missing? Thank you, Hank. Khatima, which means what? He's not sealed. What happened to his sealing? They ran out of seals in Kippur? They couldn't have any left? What in the world happened? Everyone else was written and sealed. He's written, he's not sealed. What happened there? Put as an aside as another question. So we have right now 3 points just I want to mention again. What's a Beinoni? What does it mean to be Zachu? How do you merit? And why is he missing his sealant? Next source is the Rambam, who quotes this Gemara, La Halacha L'Maaseh, who passes like this Gemara. Listen to what the Rambam says over here. Kol mi shenichal, I'll start with the first one, it's not really so related, but it's an important thing for us to realize people are in yeshiva right now. I'll tell you why in a minute, it's so important. Kol mi shenichim ala mitzvot she'asa, whoever regrets doing good things, b'tah al z'chuyos, and you wish you hadn't done that positive action. What benefit did it give me to the mitzvah? Why did I spend time at night time learning Torah? Halavai, Lasisi, O son. Wish I hadn't done it. I wish I was with my friends watching that great game in Mike's place. I wish I was there instead. Halavai. If you do that, you have what's called tshuva. You do tshuva on a mitzvah. I regret my mitzvah that I did. So then, you know, that's successful tshuva, which means your mitzvah like it didn't happen in the end. Or is the even that's cool on you? You lose the mitzvah. Tshuva works for averus, works for mitzvahs also. Ve'in mazkir lo shum zchus ba'olam. You don't get mentioned for anything you regretted in this world, both good or bad. You lose the good ones also if you regret. And he quotes the pasuk. Skip one line down. Shem sheshoklin zchus adam v'rosav mitzvahs misasu. It's like Hashem will weigh how we do at the end of our life, the sum total of our work at the end of our life. Averus versus mitzvahs. Kach b'chol shana v'shana. Shoklin avonos ko'echa v'yecha mibayi olam im tzchuyos. Hashem puts on a scale every single action we have the entire year round. And it does Rosh Hashanah, built Rosh Hashanah. Misha nimsa tzadik, smack in the middle of the Rambam of the Shuvah. Misha, wherever it's found, it's tzadik, nechtam l'chayim. Misha nimsa rasha, nechtam l'misa. V'abeinoni, tolin oso ayom ha-kipurim. Similar story right now. Im asa tshuvah, nechtam l'chayim. Vimlav nechtam l'misa. Two main differences of the Rambam quotes in the Halacha versus the Gemara that we quoted earlier on. What are two main, or really more than one, but give me two main differences. Is that?
Right. It says the second time nechtam, not nechtam.
That's true. In both, in the Rambam, he doesn't say that. He always has nechtam. That's true. Excellent. More than that. What else? What else do we got? Sure. Excellent. He gives you the exact, it wasn't what Zach said earlier, just tip the scale to the mitzvah. It only works if you do tshuva, says the Rambam. And one more, Hank, bring it home for me. What's the last thing the Rambam says differently for us? I'm calling you for a reason, Hank, because the reason I'm calling upon you. Okay, that's what you said last time. Good. What does it mean over here? The Beinoni has a chasima. In the Rambam, the Beinoni got sealed. He found the seal in the store. It came back. He was sealed. The Rambam quotes the Gemara, but he doesn't exactly quote it verbatim. He adds it in Zachu only in Tshuva, and the Beinoni gets the Chasima. What's going on here? So first of all, a Beinoni. The Rambam explained earlier on in Hilchos Shuvah, it's not who does more mitzvot or averus. It's not based on quantity. It's based on quality. And everything has their own scale. But it sounds like it's true that a Beinoni is someone who has a 50-50 weights. Not number of mitzvahs, not quantity of mitzvahs, but the quality of mitzvahs, 50-50. Which is why everyone asks the question in the Rambam, as Shua pointed out, why do we mention only tshuva? Any single mitzvah should suffice. Everyone asks this question on the Rambam. Lech Mishnah on the bottom of the sheet, which you know, according to Alec, if you have Lech Mishnah on the sheet, it cannot be a bad shear, right? So I put it on the sheet just for that reason alone. And he has a very interesting shot he brings down. Look what he says. It's very hard to read. I apologize. Very small print. But follow with me inside. V'im tomar ki lo asa tshuva amai nechtem l'misa. Let's say you don't do tshuva. So why do you get misa? Ha'am nechtza al nechtza. You still 50-50. Rab chesed matzah klapi chesed. So if you do one more thing, anything, just do a single mitzvah. Kibra ba'ein. Anything. That should tip the scales. Why is it only tshuva? So he says, Kvar tier 2, we already explained the pshat. Dehechad lo asa tshuva, havi avon echa nosav alavonos. If you don't do tshuva, then that's not only is it not a mitzvah, you missed that mitzvah, but you did an avera. You did an avera. And therefore you tip the scales in the other direction. And that's what the Lech Mishnah brings down. I don't understand that, still I don't understand that. I'll tell you why. Because even if that's the case, I have 10 days, I've been acting since that, not doing tshuva. For 10 days, I didn't do tshuva. I have many other mitzvahs of errors also on my scale. So it should be one factor of many other, of 10 days worth of factors that I had. Why would lack of tshuva not count, or be the clincher for me when I've had 10 days to act out or act in, or behave nicely or behave badly? It should be one of many factors. So that's the concept of tshuva. I'll give you a try, I think it's right. It happened in a football game last night. Shot is based on the Chicago Bears game last night. I saw a clip of it this morning. The famous play. What's that? What was the play? The blocked field goal return at halftime. At the 1 yard line. The 1 yard line. I want to tell you an unbelievable shot I want to have based upon that event. If you don't know what happened, I'll fill in right now. Here, I'll fill in the gaps. If you don't know what happened, I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. No time on the clock. Attempted to field goal by the Steelers that it was against. Yeah. Blocked. Some ridiculous guy picks up the ball, runs the length of the field. 85 yards maybe. 73 yards maybe. 72 maybe.
Yeah, it was 73. 74.
Okay, 73 yards. Only to kind of, well really probably close to 70 yards. The last few yards, he kind of like lollygag his way in. But the problem was that there was a guy who did not give up chase. He chased him for 73 yards. 1 yard line. He's just kind of moseying way in on there, and he strips the ball loose. Diving for the ball, and the field kicker on the other team pops it out of bounds in the back of the end zone. And like, everyone knows what to do with themselves. The Steelers all went to the locker room. No one do themselves. Just like they did for the South Final Banner. They also went to the locker room. They didn't come out there either. Right? So they left. They didn't come back. Fine. In the end, they decided the following was the rule. Because the defending team was now the kicking team, so the defending team kicked the ball in the end zone. It's not a safety, it's just a penalty. And therefore, they get the ball in the half of the foot line with no time on the clock. No time on the clock. But what you have right now is you have like a dead play. It's frozen in time. It could take 50 seconds, it could take 10, 25 minutes. This is not counting in time. It's just like kind of hanging in the balance. In the end, there was a false start in the offense. It was ridiculous, and then they kicked the field goal. So it was real like anticlimactic. The bottom line is that there was this frozen moment in time that just doesn't register in time. It was paused, and that time was just all you looked at was that moment. I want to suggest to you what Lech Mishnah really means to say is that you have a moment in time before the Mishnah ended, and the only thing left to be done, is tshuva. That's it. And everything else is paused. That's the only factor that's looked at afterwards. If you do not do tshuva, that means that you have another avera that was there with this clock red 0.00. But it was still part of the prior play. It was still part of the prior year. And they're just waiting to see what's going to happen. How are you going to act in that 0.00 second? Waiting with that non-time-based moment. If you do tshuva, then you win. You kick the field goal. You get a point from the board. If you blow it, then you lose. Nothing else matters. It's just tshuva. I want to bring it home one more step further. Not what I was going to say, but I'll say one idea further. I saw a sefer by Rosh Chodron called Koldo Dido Fake. He gives the following muscle. The reason why tshuva is so significant is because could you imagine the chutzpah of the following scenario? There's a father who lives very far from his son. And he loves his son to no end. He hasn't seen him in ages. He decides to raise money, get the funds together, and he's going to take a boat. It's the time when they didn't have planes, the time to visit his son. He has a telegram to his son, informing his son about his upcoming travels. We're leaving in a half a year from now on the following date. I love you. I can't wait to see you. Sends him that message. We assume the kid gets a message. Father goes on this boat, nauseating. He gets sick on the boat. Travels for days, for weeks, for months, till he finally gets at the destination, waiting to grab his luggage to see his son. He can't wait to see his son. Give him a big hug. He gets off the boat, grabs luggage, goes to the waiting room, and there's no son to be spoken of. Oh, man. Heart drops. What? He didn't come see me? So he must have come up. I'm sure everything's okay, but he must be busy. I'm sure he's probably waiting for me at his house, like when I'm walking, he'll be front, in the front, the courtyard with a band and a welcome dad sign. I show up late at night, get myself a taxi, whatever, how we got there in the end. Goes to the house. Dark. No one's there. Knocks on the door, lightly. No one gets to the door. Bangs in the door. Now imagine the following scene. Here's his voice from his son inside. Dad, it's so late at night. I'm already changed my pajamas. I already showered. I can't get to the door right now. It's not right for you to come so late at night. Could you imagine the feeling of the father when his son was such a chutzpan? He traveled for months. The least he could do was offer a drink, welcome him into the home. Nothing. Pain. The level of disrespect in that action is not imaginable. Kodesh Baruch Hu, we say, is basadeh. During this period of time, during the time of Elul, his mom is right next to us. We just read yesterday, call him when he's close. He's mamish. He traveled. He's like, new guys, I'm right here. Anything you have to say to me? Nah. No. Have a good day, God. Hope you have a nice time visiting everyone else in the world, God. The level of chutzpah that would entail would knock out whatever else you could think to have done in this period of time. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu was in your midst, he's waiting to be seen by you. And you say, I'm too tired to do this right now. I'm feeling a burnout right now. I've been learning for the last 2 weeks. I can't do this right now, God. Cut me one. Just give me some slack. Yesterday was a fast day. Oh, I can't get a bed. I don't fast well. You just ended Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. And he said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? I'm not going to wake up for davening. I don't fast well. Do you know that I read to my share, they say the Arabs do 40 of those in a row. They eat at nighttime, but they fast for 40 days in a row. Imagine, we said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, listen, you get through the youngest. Yeah, come on, I'm sure you understand that. How about the Arabs, 37 straight day of fasting. They still fast 40 days. How bad does it make us look when I want to survive the day? I haven't eaten for breakfast. Can't make it this year. How am I going to function? Really? Think that's the right position to be taking now? If anything, supposed to be tricking God that we're more from. And instead, you're going to call it in because you miss breakfast, it gives you a headache. You just finished davening, goes, Baruch Hu Yom Adin. Yom Kippur is around the corner. And this is what we bring to the table? I haven't eaten all day. I don't fast well. I'll miss Minyan. I'll just sleep when my dad watch in my bed movies so I can pass time. It is not hard to not eat for a day. People do it all the time in countries that don't have a lot of food. It's not an accomplishment you should be patting yourself on the back for. Much less should you be saying to yourself, I can't function, I can't be a good Jew today, I haven't eaten breakfast. I want to take a different route for the next few minutes and then we'll end. The reason why I believe there is no ceiling, to quote Hank, in the Rosh Hashanah time, why there's no ceiling, meaning chasima, seal, not ceiling, C-E-I, ceiling, chasima, is because, and why is there a third book at all, by the way? Why is there a third book? It's the same as the other two. You have the life book, death book, and then the guy gets in one of those two books. So I suggest to you, there's actually a third book. A third book for people who cannot make up their minds. The Beinoni is someone who cannot pick a team. His entire life, he's been living Not sure. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. So you know what God says back to you? Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe yes, maybe no. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write you down in a book that cannot be sealed. Because you cannot make up your mind. It's a third book. The book that only has pencils written in it. No pen. You can't write a pen in that book. Only pencils. Happens to be, I don't know if you ever look at Rabbi David's Gemara. Rabbi David's Gemara, and I recommend you all do it at some point in time, not when he has it in his hands, but when he doesn't have it, open his Gemara up. Every single blank spot on the page is full of writing. But that's not the most important part to me. It's in pen. Look at my Gemara. I have some spots written in pencil. So if I have a bad shot, I can just erase it. No one knows the difference. There's no commitment. Not commitment to your shot. I'm a commitment to making a stance. No commitment. The Beinoni is someone who cannot make up his mind. I like being this way, but I also like being that way. You know what? I'm not sure what I'm going to do in the end. So God says, you know what? I'll see how you decide the next 10 days, and I'll write you in the not sure book. It'll be written in the not sure book in the end. I had a guy who... We'll get back to that point in a minute. I'm sure some of you have a friend who's two-faced. You know, when he's with you, he's the nicest guy. And when he's not with you, he talks behind your back. So that's really what you do to God. Oh, I'm so, you know, I'm trying this year. I'm going to Minyan. I'm trying to learn a little bit. And then I go to town and I act out in ways that I know because Baruch wouldn't want me to do. I don't mean you can take breaks. You take many breaks. We welcome breaks. We encourage breaks. But to do things that are antithetical to growth, so then you're two-faced. You're two-faced. You get written in a book that doesn't get sealed. You get part of a select group of people that cannot make up their minds. But there's one way to fix that. One way. Tshuva. You know how you get sealed, Hank? Tshuva. Because then you say, I was wrong. I want a second chance at this one. And says the Rambam, if you do that, what happens, Shua? You get a chasima. The Beinoni gets a second chance to be signed again. But there's only one way he gets that. If you do more than the Averas, you tip the scales, you get written in the pencil book of Zchus. Who wants to be written in pencil books? Could you imagine you're applying for a job? Let me see which book you're written in. Ooh, pencils? Really? You? You're dating a girl. Meet your follower for the first time. 50-50? That's you? Oof. No, thank you. I'm not interested in my daughter marrying you. Pencil books are terrible. It means that you can't make up your mind. Who wants someone who cannot pick a team? Hashem begs us, b'char to b'chaim. He asks us. He says, pick life. We just read it in the last parsha. Pick life. I'm giving you options. I want you just to choose the best one. What does life mean? I'm breathing. My heart's beating. Choose life. I mean, that counts as life? That's not life. I mean, you're an animal. You can be an animal also are breathing. And their heart's beating also. Animals have hearts. It's not considered life. Life is what God defines as life. Because he's the one who said choose life. What does it mean to choose life then? So there's types of movies in the future. Again, I'm not going to say movies because movies are outdated now in your time. But back in the day, there were movies you had futuristic movies. And there were some that were very gloomy. Doomsday movies. And there's some that were like technologically advanced and futuristic and unbelievable to watch and hope that could happen one day maybe. And you know what it depends on? It depends on what your attitude is in life. You can have a life that you're making a doomsday life where all you want is pleasure, personal gratification. Doomsday. You care about only yourself? What wife is going to love you? What child is going to want you as their father? Doomsday. Or you have a dream of being good, of working towards a goal, an end that's productive. It's future, that's unexciting. God says, I'm begging you. I'm asking you. I put you here to choose life. I don't want you to put you here so you're an animal. I have a lot of animals already out there. They're called animals. You're called a human being. You have free choice. Choose life. Tshuva means that you're deciding, I'm done with that. I heard the name of my Ra over the course of Yontif. We have two serum that are identical looking. We take part of the blood and we put it in Lefnayim, Lefnim. Take part of the blood and we chuck it off a cliff. It's us. There are two parts to me. God, I'm choosing my part to go in the Kodesh Kodashim. I want to be one with you. The rest of me is not really me. I have a problem. I try hard. It's hard. I'm trying to beat it. But this is really me. Choose life. I got a text from a student the other day. I'll read to you what it said. It's just a little bit depressing, but bear with me. He said to me, Israel... Again, it's hard to read these words even. If anyone here believes this, we'll talk afterwards. Israel gives students a fantasy mentality, which I was a victim for at some point. A fantasy mentality. You know what the fantasy is? As if, like, life revolves around God. Fantasy. And he goes on to describe how he's in a better place right now than the fantasy of having God revolving every decision in your life. So instead, what's a better option? Be a slave of my culture. Forget God. I'd rather be a slave of my culture, a slave of fashion, a slave of sports, a slave of movies and industry. That's better. That's the reality. I would take fantasy any day of the year if that's the other option. Fantasy means, it's true, it's a fantasy. You can live your life, it's a fantasy, but don't you want fantasy? That'd be the greatest. I remember this show called Fantasy Island. People's dreams coming true on Fantasy Island. You're right, you're on a Fantasy Island right now. You have the chance to have what really was supposed to happen in the world happen to you. It's a fantasy. Then you have to, how do you combat that when you go back afterwards to the non-fantasy world? The world of corruption. The world of fighting and warmongering. That's what you have to deal with later on. But right now, you're in a fantasy world. You want to hold on to the life that you came from instead of living for a year in fantasy? Sarah Mitshuva, why do we fake it? We're not faking it. We're not faking it at all. You want to show yourself, you know what? I can do this. I can really pull this off. You can look at having a ministry one of two ways. Either like, oh my gosh, like I'm burning out soon, I gotta stop my ministry, or hey, let's see how far I can take this thing. Sarah Mitshuva is a time when you get to see for just a week. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur on the bookends, and then a week in the middle. How close can I really get to God? Can I actually pull off a meaningful relationship with God where I put things away except for God? Where I live for a week in a fantasy world? Fantasy. You have 1 week to have that life. Pretend. It's not real right now. It's not real yet. Pretend. Wear a belt. Learn tomorrow. Practice for it. It's pretend, but you have a little time to taste what it feels like to be pretend like that. And maybe later on you can decide, you know what? I like that pretend world. I'll make that world a reality for myself. That's a choice that you have. We did one last quote, and I'll wish you a Gemar Chasima Tova. The Rambam Perish Mishnayos in Sefer Rosh Hashanah says the following thing. We don't say Hallel Rosh Hashanah time. You know why? You don't want to say Hallel Rosh Hashanah time? You know why I wouldn't say it? Well, because it's Yemei Adin. Hallows, I'm going to sing, I'm going to sing praises. Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur Showtime are very important days for us, but to sing and act joyful, it's a balance a little bit. Says the Rambam the following line, listen very closely. I'm supposed to be subjugating myself. Pachad, umor me'ashem. I'm frightened. I'm terrified of God. He holds in his hand every single thing. Someone in this room over here recently, had a problem with his eye. It was killing him. It's his little thing in his eye, and he can't function. Someone was vomiting all day yesterday. He had to go to get IV to drink. Every last thing you have in your life, one small thing, and you can't function. You can't move. You know how terrifying that is, that there's a God in the world who controls that? Terrifying. Terrifying. And yet you just clear out the thing in your eye. You get the IV in your arm, and we're back like nothing happened at all? You have a stomach problem. If you run to the bathroom and you just make it in time, and you're like, you just think, oh my gosh, God, you're so merciful. Thank you so much. Usher, you answer like Ne'ilu on Yom Kippur. Oh, thank you so much. And then next, what happens after 5 minutes later? Nothing? You should be shaking in your boots. any small deviation of normal bodily function, you are gone. You can't say hollow. You got to be terrified. Listen, next other Rambam says, next line. Umor me Hashem v'yir menu umivrach umanus, you run, you flee. It should say, from God. It says, you run and you flee a love to God. Whoa, what's that? I'm fleeing to the thing that gives me fear, that makes me panic. That's where I'm running to. I should be running as far away from that thing as I possibly can. Tom says, no, that's not it. You don't get it. He's Avinu, the same one that controls every single bodily function that you have. It lets you see and breathe and run and laugh and dance. Every action you have, in a second, could be gone. Don't run away from him. You better run as fast as you can to him. You give him the biggest hug you could give a creator who is not physical. Do not let go until Yom Kippur is over, and even then you should think twice before you let go. Because this is it. This is the time for panic. It's a time to pretend that you're more than you really are. Because you're not fooling anyone. You're trying to show yourself what it means to live on a fantasy island for a week. Because maybe, just maybe, one day you realize this is much better than my other option that I had. I am much happier. I'm much better. I'll take this any day of the week. I'll give you a bracha. Number one is you should find things to do. I'll give you an example of one thing to do you can possibly think about doing. This is a sukkah building, people in the community, the Yeshiva Tar Traga. Rafi Damsky is helping arrange people to build a sukkah. Say to him, when can I help build a sukkah? Do things that are out of your box. You don't have to go to Minyan so much, go to Minyan. If you go to Minyan, you should go earlier to Minyan. Make a streak for yourself. Do something special, something different. Only eat certain foods during this period of time. Cut out that television show for the week. Pick whatever it is that's your Achilles heel. And embrace God, because we're terrified of him. And what it would mean not to embrace him.